Hello, welcome to week two of networking. Today we're going to get started with some definitions and we're going to discuss methods of communication and types of data transmission. One of the first things we want to talk about is when a signal is transmitted across or through a medium, that's called propagation. We say the signal propagates through the medium. So next we want to talk about some different transmission techniques, and the first of these are serial versus parallel. With serial, the bits go one at a time in sequence over a single channel. This is like a single file line of humans. And if you've ever been in line, you know this works, but it usually works kind of slow. Corresponding to this, or opposite this, is parallel transmission. This is essentially a group of bits on separate channels. This is like if you have multiple lines of people, like say at a grocery store, you can get more people in and out with multiple lines. As you might guess, this requires more physical stuff. In a grocery store, it requires more registers, for example. Before we get to the next item in the notes, I just want to say something. The material in this course is very straightforward, and what I mean is there's no ambiguity. So if you want more clarity on any topic, feel free to look it up online. It's very factual, and again, there's no ambiguity. The next topic we want to talk about is asynchronous, synchronous, and isochronous communication techniques. With asynchronous, the data is encapsulated with start and stop bits. The data can be sent at any time without the receiver being notified beforehand. The receiver does not need to know the length of the transmission because he's going to get stop bits when it's the end, and this is more cost-effective than the other two methods. With synchronous, the communication between the modes is monitored by each node. That is, the nodes are in sync with each other. This is more costly due to timing and clocking mechanisms, but it's a lot faster and a lot less data overhead than in asynchronous. And with isochronous, a specific bandwidth and data rate requirement needs to be established before starting. If this can't be established, there's no communication. Next, we talk about directional communication techniques. The first of these, or the most simple, is simplex communication. The data only flows in one direction. Here, one node is the sender and one node is the receiver. The example of this is old television, not cable, or standard radio. With half duplex, the data may be sent in either direction, but only one direction at a time. An example for this, if folks remember, maybe you had these when you were kids, are walkie-talkies. And the third technique is full duplex. Sending and receiving can take place at the same time. This uses two simplex lines, one going in each direction, working simultaneously. Next, we want to look at analog and digital communication techniques. When we talk about analog signals, these are smooth, contiguous signals with respect to time. I'm sure everybody's thrown a rock into a lake at some period in their life. If you throw a rock into a lake, after it splashes, the result are waves that go out over the water. The bigger the rock, the higher the waves. And eventually, the waves will weaken and become essentially nothing. So when we describe an analog signal, The two common descriptions are amplitude and frequency. Amplitude is the highest value the wave will occupy during its path. The frequency is the rate in which the signal repeats, and this is measured in cycles per second, or more commonly, hertz. So the repetition starts when it leaves the x-axis. It then travels up or along the y-axis. It then travels below the x-axis and comes back to the x-axis, and that's called a cycle. You can look at these as pictured on the Cartesian graph as follows, or if you spin that wave around at the 180 degree mark, you can get it into the form of a circle represented in polar coordinate systems. From there, we talk about digital communications, and a digital communication technique is any method of communication based on digital principles. Now, signals in digital communication are discrete. They're not continuous. So the values we talk about in the digital realm are things like on and off, one and zero, high and low, etc. Next, we look at wavelength. Wavelength is the distance occupied by a single cycle. This is calculated based on our distance formula of rate times time. In this case, the rate is typically the speed of light, and our time value is 1 over the frequency. So it simplifies out to just rate over frequency. If we look at speed and capacity of a communication, speed is how fast from point A to point B, and capacity is how much data was transferred. We describe this using the definition of bandwidth. Bandwidth is the capacity of a communication channel, and the width then is the difference between the highest and lowest frequencies. For human voice, this is from about 300 to 3300 hertz. The bandwidth then is 3300 minus 300, which comes out to be 3000 hertz, which is 3 times 10 cubed hertz, which is 3 kilohertz. Next, we talk about data rate, and the data rate is the amount of data transferred over a medium in a given period. The important thing to take away about this is what it's measured in. The measurement unit here is bits per second, or BPS, and frequently when you see BPS, students want to say bytes per second. It is not bytes per second, it is bits per second. The next two topics are related, and these are throughput and noise. We previously talked about bandwidth, and bandwidth represents the theoretical capacity of a medium, again, in bits per second. Throughput is the actual amount of data transmitted across a medium. One of the ways to think about this is the highway. And if you look at the speed limit sign on the highway, say it's 70 miles an hour, and that's the theoretical max. I mean, you can go faster, but you're not supposed to. That's the speed that you're traveling on a great day. Throughput is actually how fast you're getting from point A to point B. So if the freeway's crowded, if there's bad weather, you're not actually going 70 miles an hour. In the computer world, the limitations to bandwidth include noise, intermediate nodes, how fast I/O can be done, what else intermediate nodes are doing, And again, traffic. The number one enemy of data communication is noise. Noise is defined as any undesirable extraneous signal on a transmission medium. This can be things like intermodulation, ambient noise, for example, heat, impulse noise, etc. Next, we want to talk about a topic called multiplexing. And this is where we take data from multiple channels and share a common medium. This works by taking data from several low-speed channels, combining them at one end, the muxer, sending across a high-speed circuit, and then separated back into individual channels at the other end, the demuxer. Some of the strategies for this are frequency division multiplexing. This divides the main frequency into subfrequencies. Each subfrequency is then customized to the bandwidth of the data it must carry. Old-style TV, radio, and old-style telephones work this way. There's also time division multiplexing. This is more than one signal, but at different times. Digital telephones work this way. With wave division multiplexing, this is what's used with fiber. And then some others are statistical multiplexing, demand access multiplexing, and code division multiple access, which is a technique that one of the cell phone providers uses. The next topic we want to talk about has to do with analog and digital transmission concepts. We have a data source and we have a signal, and there are going to be four combinations of these. We can have an analog data source over an analog signal. We can have an analog data source over a digital signal. We can have a digital data source sent over an analog signal, or we can have a digital data source sent over a digital signal. Analog data over an analog signal works by taking the original frequency, called the baseband signal, and combining it with a carrier signal to represent the data being carried. This process is called modulation. And there's three or so ways to do this. We can vary the amplitude, we can vary the frequency, or we can vary the phase. If we vary the amplitude, this is called amplitude modulation, where we modulate the strength or the height of the signal. And amplitude modulation is commonly called AM, and if you're old like me, you know AM to be the radio frequency, AM radio. We can modify the frequency, that becomes good old-fashioned FM, as in radio, or we can modulate the phase. The common example of this is human voice over standard old phone lines. Next, we want to talk about analog data along a digital signal. And this involves taking samples of the analog wave over time using a technique called pulse code modulation, or PCM. You hearing my voice, which starts as analog and then gets digitized, is an example of PCM. You can look at the math for Nyquist theorem. It's not real complicated, but PCM uses 8,000 samples per second, samples of the analog wave. And per Nyquist theorems, if we take less samples, we lose data, but if we take more samples, we don't get any better data. Converting this analog data to digital signal uses a device called a codec, and that stands for coder-decoder. Perhaps if any of you have played around with audio, you're familiar with audio codecs. The next technique we want to look at involves taking digital data along an analog signal. And what we do here is we modulate the original signal to represent analog data. This uses a device that you've probably heard of called a modem, which stands for modulator demodulator. Some of the techniques here are amplitude shift keying, where we vary the signal strength or the amplitude while keeping the frequency constant. An unmodulated signal represents a zero. A modulated signal represents a one. We also have frequency shift keying. This varies the frequency while keeping the amplitude constant. We have phase shift keying, which varies the phase while keeping both the amplitude and the frequency constant. And finally, we have a little more sophisticated technique called quadrature amplitude modulation. This varies the signal amplitude using two values, a high amplitude and a low amplitude, and it uses four phase values while keeping the frequency constant. The combination of two amplitudes and four phases gives us eight different states, and you can see these in the chart. An eight state allows us to have 3 bits, so 2 cubed gives us 8, and that's where the 8 states come from. Look at the picture. That's called a constellation diagram, and that's how quadrature amplitude modulation works. Next, I'm going to leave the audio, and I'm going to use the last digital data on a digital signal, and I'm going to have a little video. You'll see that on the syllabus also.